This is Jackson Peterson, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Humboldt, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Friday Farm News here on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Jamie Dickerman, along with Randy Conan and Tyler Donaldson. Environmental Protection Agency releasing its proposed renewable volume obligations, or RVOs, giving a boost to the biofuels market. The proposal calling for a significant increase in bio-based diesel volumes, with the 2026 target set at 5.61 billion gallons, well above industry expectations. A proposal to reduce the value of imported renewable feedstocks like used cooking oil could also impact the market. A public comment period is expected to run for 30 to 60 days before the final rule is issued by the November 30th deadline.
U.S. Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins praising the EPA's move to set the highest ever biofuel volume requirements under the renewable fuel standard. Rollins says this action provides certainty for corn and soybean farmers and lowers prices at the pump for consumers. Rollins highlighting the Trump administration's efforts to support biofuels, including a new trade deal with the United Kingdom that opens tariff-free access for over $700 million in ethanol exports. Rollins calls biofuels a key part of energy and national security, helping boost rural jobs and promote American energy abroad.
The EPA's new proposals on renewable volume obligations also getting high praise from the Clean Fuels Alliance. Director of Public Affairs Paul Winters says the rule goes beyond what the industry expected.
But certainly the signal from EPA and from the Trump administration is that they intended to give us a boost that was even larger than what we were asking for. So we do appreciate that. And there's a lot of program changes being proposed in the rule, so it's going to take some very careful evaluation of those proposals to see how they really impact the industry. But right now, it looks like a very supportive rule for American farmers and American biodiesel and renewable diesel producers.
Winters says the EPA is also acknowledging the growth in renewable fuel capacity and setting volumes that reflect that investment.
You know, this is such a large and robust change from the renewable fuel standards that were set for the for 2023 through 2025, that it is a very good boost for our industry right now. And EPA fully acknowledges the investments that have gone into new capacity to produce biodiesel and renewable diesel, as well as sustainable aviation fuel. And they have tried to set volumes that fit with that. That's a huge change for this program.
USDA Secretary Brooke Rollins says economic relief is reaching farmers quickly. Speaking before the House Ag Committee this week, Rollins said the USDA has distributed billions in emergency assistance in recent weeks.
Have already sent out aid to more than 500,000 farmers in just the last 8 weeks, with a total of over $7.7 billion out the door to date. Additionally, we have issued $1 billion of the emergency livestock relief to date.
Rollins said the aid is especially important since a new farm bill hasn't been passed yet. She also highlighted the Republican-backed tax and spending bill, saying it helps farm families.
This bill leverages a once-in-a-generation opportunity, and specifically for our farmers, increasing $3.8 billion in income projected, protecting over 2 million of our family farms from the death tax, and cutting more than $10 billion in taxes.
World Weather Incorporated says heavy rains expected next week in southern Brazil and Paraguay, with forecast models predicting 3 to more than 6 inches in areas from northern Rio Grande do Sul to Paraguay. Flooding could delay winter crop planting and damage recently planted fields, potentially requiring some replants. Eastern Argentina also in line for significant rain. Meanwhile, the safrinha corn and cotton crops in Mato Grosso and Goiás are maturing quickly due to dry conditions. That dryness may limit yield potential for late planted fields. In western Argentina, rains are still needed, but the overall crop situation remains stable, with recent dry weather helping field work progress.
A weather system moved along the Dakotas border last night, and according to Dairyland Seed District Sales Manager Keith Rico, some areas surrounding Aberdeen, South Dakota, saw nearly up to 8 inches of rain.
You know, we were dry for the most part. See, my garden don't have water standing with 4.9 in my house. But east of my house, there's some hard pan and some water coming downhill where probably 10 acres out of 65 has got water standing, flooded, water coming across. And then get northwest of me, 6 miles at 7.8. There's no way that that ground could take 7.8. You know, that's pretty near double what I got.
And that rain was very much appreciated.
As dry as we were, it's beneficial overall. We were pastures. I had to haul water to the pasture cattle because the creeks were dry and no snow runoff. So we're thankful for it, and we'll take what we get with the drought does, I guess. As long as the spraying was done, that was the main thing.
Crops in north-central North Dakota making good progress. Dakota Agronomy Partners Glen Burn location manager Zach Mill says a 4-inch rain and recent warmer temperatures has the crop growing fast.
Everything is now starting to come around and looking pretty good. Things were a little slow after that cold rain, but things are starting to catch up. And once that sun peaks out and the heat rolls in, everything should be looking pretty good. So it's a pretty fast-paced spraying season this year, which a lot of years are, but just everything got put in the ground in a pretty short amount of time, honestly, again this year, and everything's just kind of ready at once, it seems like.
Mill says wind and wildfire smoke have been a challenge for chemical application.
We've had a lot of windy days, and then the big thing is, too, it's been challenging the spraying season so far with all the smoke and then really not having a whole lot of sunlight in the last seven to 10 days here. And, you know, when you're talking about trying to spray some herbicides like Liberty, for instance, when you're trying to get those sunny and warm days, and with the smoke cover and then the clouds, we've had pretty select few days where it's been good days to spray Liberty here.
Coalition of more than 20 major ag groups sending a joint letter to Secretary of State Marco Rubio, Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins, Trade Representative Jamison Greer, hoping to prevent two State Department offices from getting the axe. Letter said a strong understanding of ag issues is important for the country's foreign policy agenda. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. Filtered sunlight from wildfire smoke is starting to get some attention. Martinson Ag Risk Management President Randy Martinson is starting to hear some talk.
There is some chatter about that too, you know, because when we do get up into the 80s, we don't have the sun. We have, you know, the filtered sunlight. So there is some concerns about that. And especially, you know, you look at the crop up here right now, you know, it's small. And we do need to get some heat to get it to grow because, you know, at this point, you know, it's going to be tough to get corn knee-high by the fourth, which is kind of our industry standard, you know, what we need to do to make maturity. And right now it's moving kind of slow, and some of that is being blamed on the fact that the filter from the smoke.
Martinson says the cold rains earlier this spring slowed plant growth too.
It pretty much stopped the growth of the crop, and we've had quite a few, you know, on our insurance side, we've had quite a bit of replants that have come into play because of, you know, the crop not starting off very good, and a lot of it, you know, dying just because it just didn't have enough time to germinate and grow.
Soybean markets through the roof today. Ag Resource Company President Dan Bossi said that's thanks to the big news from the EPA.
We got a much bigger than expected renewable fuel obligation of 5.6 billion gallons. That's a 67% increase from where we're at. This is, of course, for the crop years or calendar years, excuse me, of 2026 through 2028. So big news there, and it helps the biofuel industry. And that's got soybean oil limit up and taking soybeans along for the ride.
Cattle markets sharply lower today on geopolitical news.
Well, it gets down to a disposable income question. When you have crude oil up $4 to $6 relative to the expansion of Mideast war tensions, the attacks, of course, by Israel against Iranian nuclear facilities, it takes away people's disposable income. And so with cattle at a high price, they're seeing that kind of pressure. The market was overbought anyway, with funds holding a record long position. So the market is going to be volatile. But the question is if energy prices rise, how much income will be spent on going out to restaurants and buying that fancy filet mignon?
The livestock market remaining under heavy selling pressure. Paradigm Futures analyst Kent Beadle says Israel's attack on Iranian nuclear and military facilities is some of that selling pressure.
You know, first of all, you've got cattle down fairly hard, and feeder cattle down the hardest. And, you know, we've had a jump in corn prices. And so that you know, there's always a knee-jerk reaction there. And then, you know, we've got, you know, higher prices and potential inflation that could, you know, ultimately start to, you know, have an impact on consumer demand and consumer preferences. And I think that's weighing on things, you know, across the livestock sector here today.
Oil prices are on the rise again after holding steady for several weeks. The shift comes on the heels of strong economic data and renewed optimism around U.S.-China trade talks. Patrick DeHaan with GasBuddy.com explains what's driving the change.
As well as now China and U.S. Authorities meeting together to discuss trade. The trade talks ongoing have boosted the optimism that the economy may be starting to grow again in the months ahead, potentially seeing a less of a risk in tariffs if the U.S. and China can come to some agreement.
DeHaan says diesel prices have dropped to their lowest levels since October 2021, and gasoline prices are averaging around $3 per gallon nationwide.
Rabobank reporting modest milk production growth across major exporting countries, including the United States, with first quarter output up 0.5% year over year. For 2025, Rabobank forecasting total milk production from the big seven exporters, 326.7 million metric tons. That's a 1% increase and the largest annual gain since 2020. Despite the production boost, demand concerns are rising. Rabobank says low U.S. consumer confidence, economic issues in China, and weaker restaurant and packaged food sales are putting pressure on the market.
U.S. sales of farm equipment fell 12% from last year, while combine sales dropped 21%. The sharpest decline came in four-wheel drive tractors, down 39% from May of 2024 to May of 2025. In contrast, Canada seeing combine sales rising 16% in May year over year. Four-wheel drive tractors increased 35%. This is the Red River Farm Network. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Let's catch up with Ag Week editor Jenny Schlecht. Jenny, what do you have for us on the cover of Ag Week?
On this week's Ag Week cover, Ariana Schumacher, Noah Fish, and I check in on crop progress around the region. Planting for major crops was most of the way wrapped up in the region as of the most recent crop progress report. In fact, Minnesota was one of only two states that was 100% done with corn planting. North Dakota and South Dakota also are ahead of average in most crops. What we heard overall was that planting went pretty well. There was that period in mid to late May where a lot of us across the Dakotas and Minnesota got quite a bit of rain, but that didn't really slow down progress for long, and it brought a lot of welcome moisture, though a little too much in some places at once. So now the focus shifts to the growing season rather than planting, and emergence seems like it's pretty good, but also a little uneven in places. That's largely due to the weird hot early May, colder late May, mostly average, but maybe a little cool in some places early June we've had so far, along with the fact that planting did get delayed for a bit by those rains in May. Some places are definitely going to need to keep getting those timely rains, and a bit of a warm-up sounds like it's in order, too, to get the crops really growing. USDA, of course, has predicted some big yields for this year, and it'll be interesting to see if the conditions are conducive to hitting those marks. Pest pressures don't seem too bad yet, but we've definitely seen some spraying going on, as weeds always find a way. So overall, it seems like a good start to the growing season for farmers in our region, and we'll keep checking in throughout the summer to see what happens next.
Thanks, Jenny. Looking forward to reading about it next week's Ag Week.
Taking a look at the markets right now, we're looking at July Minneapolis wheat up 12 and a quarter, 633 and a quarter. We got September up 12 and 3 quarters, 644 and a half. July Chicago up 16, 542 and a half. And July Kansas City up 16 and a quarter, 539. July corn up 4 and 3 quarters, 443 and a quarter. July soybeans up 24 and 3 quarters right now at 1067. June live cattle down 320 at 225. August feeders down 520, 306.05. This is the Red River Farm Network.